Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. In today's presentation, we're going to be talking about the blood of Jesus. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God would not accept the work of their own hands as a covering for their sin. The first sin that they became aware of was their nakedness. That is very instructive because they became focused upon the physical rather than fellowship with God. They attempted to cover their sin by sewing fig leaves together, but God would not accept those works of their own hands. Instead, an innocent animal had to be slain to provide coverings of skins. The first crime in the Bible was committed by Cain because he became very wroth or very angry because of God's requirement to bring a blood offering rather than the fruit of his own hands. God rejected man's first attempt to come to him with a bloodless religion. The first persecution of a God-fearing man, Abel, came about because of the rejection of the blood-bought way by his brother Cain. Man continues to reject the blood to this day. The blood of Jesus is the only way to salvation that God will accept. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The way of Cain is referred to in the book of Jude. It is the way of false religion, a bloodless false religion. Just as Satan used Cain to persecute the way of the blood, he has continued to use his children throughout the ages to torture, maim, and kill Bible-believing peoples. Religion hates God and hates God's way. Religion hates the blood of Jesus. Religion is man's attempts to get to God. Christianity is God coming down to man. True Bible-believing Christianity is not a religion, but is rather the reality of God living in you through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That blood came to us through God the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah for the blood, folks. If it were not for the blood, we would all die and go to hell. It's either the blood of Jesus or hell. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. In the words of that glorious old hymn, "Nothing but the blood." What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When we look at all the Old Testament sacrificial offerings, the death of the innocent animal was of none effect until the blood was offered upon the altar. In every Old Testament type of the sinless Lamb of God, the blood and not the death was the instrument of the atonement. Leviticus 17 verse 11 puts it this way, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." That's Leviticus 17:11. Though it was obvious that death would result from the sacrifice, the focus was upon the blood and not the death. You need to remember that, folks. God required the blood. The innocent had to die for the guilty. The emphasis was not on the death because the sinless Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, would not remain in death, but would be resurrected to sprinkle his sinless blood on the mercy seat in heaven. Do not miss the tense of the verb in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, when God says, "I have given it to you to make an atonement for your souls." The word "have" is past tense. In God's mind, the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ had already been given. It was an accomplished fact. And then from Revelation 13 verse 8, we know that God considered the Lamb to have already been slain from the foundation of the world. It is obvious from Leviticus 17 verse 11 that the blood referred to was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For some to say, as John MacArthur and Robert Fahmy Jr. have, that it was the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and not the blood of Christ that saves us from our sins is the equivalent of denying the Christian faith. It is going in the way of Cain. It is heresy, folks. Why is it that the Mormons, as stated by Brigham Young, believe that there are certain sins a person can commit that the blood of Jesus cannot atone for? That is blasphemy, folks. It is heresy. Why is it that heretics such as John MacArthur, Robert Thyme Jr., and Brigham Young can deny the blood of Jesus? Because it was planted in their minds by Satan is the simple answer. Genesis 9 verse 4 states this, "But the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat." Human beings have a natural revulsion to drinking blood because God has planted it in their conscience that it is wicked to drink blood. That is why the devils put such strong emphasis on drinking blood in the satanic rituals that drive Satanism, witchcraft, magic, and sorcery. The devils know that it is a direct attack upon God and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the devils know that there is power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Some quick facts about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ should be noted. The blood of Christ is God's blood, according to Acts chapter 20, verse 28. The blood of Jesus is pure blood, according to Matthew chapter 27, verse 4, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. That is why any Old Testament animal sacrifice that was a type or a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ had to be a male, firstborn, pure and undefiled, and not marred by any physical defect. The sacrifice had to be perfect in every way. At least 50 different times, the Old Testament sacrifices were described as having to be without spot or without blemish. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only atonement that God will accept for our sin, according to Romans chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. The blood of Jesus was a sweet-smelling savor offering unto God, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. The blood of Jesus was only offered one time, and we find that in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, Hebrews 9, verses 26 through 28, Hebrews 10, verse 10, and 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Therefore, any church ritual or tradition such as that of Roman Catholicism that offers up the Lord Jesus Christ as a literal continuing sacrifice is not scriptural. Let me repeat that. Therefore, any church ritual or tradition such as that in Roman Catholicism that offers up the Lord Jesus Christ as a literal continual sacrifice is not scriptural. It is akin to counting the blood of the covenant an unholy thing and trodding underfoot the Son of God. We see that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. For the blood of Jesus to have any atoning value, it had to be sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven. The blood of Jesus was sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven according to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. The Old Testament high priest was but a shadow of our perfect high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was sinless, he was the only one who could enter into the Holy of Holies in heaven to sprinkle his blood on the mercy seat. We see that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, and in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24, through Hebrews chapter 8, verse 2. The blood of Christ was presented almost immediately after his resurrection, according to John 20, verse 17. Why was it important that Mary Magdalene not touch the Lord Jesus Christ before he ascended to the Father in heaven, when later the disciples were encouraged to touch him? We see that in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 30, and also in Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 40. Could it be that a touch from Mary would have defiled him in his role as the high priest before he presented the blood at the mercy seat in heaven? The events in Luke 24, verses 36 through 40, happened after the Lord Jesus Christ had returned from heaven. Luke 24:39 says, in part, "A spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." The reason the blood was not mentioned in connection with the flesh and bones is because it had already been offered on the mercy seat in heaven. When John the Baptist said in John 1 verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world," he knew that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ would take away the sin of the world. He knew that the Lord Jesus Christ would become our Passover. In the first Passover, the slaughter of the sinless lamb was of none effect until the blood had been struck on the side and upper doorpost. It took the blood for protection and deliverance. Without the blood, the death of the lamb was useless. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, the Lord Jesus Christ did not tell his disciples that it would be his death that was for the remission of sin, but rather his blood. Repeat that. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, the Lord Jesus Christ did not tell his disciples that it would be his death that was for the remission of sins, but rather his blood. Jesus said this in Matthew 26, verse 28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Again, that's Matthew 26, verse 28. A brief summary of the New Testament doctrine of the blood of Christ shows that through the blood of Christ we receive propitiation, justification, redemption, spiritual cleansing, reconciliation to God, sanctification, the privilege to come before the Father, and victory over Satan. We see propitiation in Romans chapter 3, verse 25. We see justification in Romans chapter 5, verse 9. We see redemption in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, and also in Colossians 1, verse 14, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, and Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. We see the cleansing or purging by the blood in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, Hebrews 10, verse 4, 1 John 1, 7, Revelation 1, verse 5, and Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. We see reconciliation in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, and Colossians 1, verse 20. We see the privilege to come before the Father in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22, and we see the victory over Satan in Revelation chapter 12, verse 111. Read on to see these scriptures discussed in the context of the New Testament. I say read on. We have a copy of the document that we're working out of uploaded to our website, and you can read it. But I would encourage you to listen on. Now, let us take a walk through the New Testament to see what the blood of Jesus has done for us. From Acts chapter 20, verse 28, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ purchased the church of the living God with his own blood. That's Acts chapter 20, verses 28, which states the following. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." That's Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 also shows that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is God's blood. In Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 26, we see that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ purchased justification, redemption, propitiation, and remission of sins for all sinners. Let's go and read Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 26. Verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." That's Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 26. Now, according to Romans chapter 3, verse 26, only believers are the recipients of justification, redemption, propitiation, and remission of sins. Justification is an act of free grace whereby God pardons the sinner and accepts him as righteous on account of the blood of Christ. This act of justification by the Lord Jesus Christ makes it appear just as if I'd never sinned, even though all have sinned. Hence, we are justified by the blood of Christ. Redemption is the purchase of God's favor by the blood of Christ. Redemption is the price paid to God for deliverance of sinners from the bondage of sin and Satan. In other words, we are slaves to our sin and slaves of Satan. Redemption is a ransom paid to God and not to Satan. Let me repeat that. Redemption is a ransom paid to God and not to Satan. As a result of that redemption, we are delivered from the just penalties we should suffer for having violated God's laws. Folks, we deserve hell. Redemption comes through the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are made free, not set free. We're made free by the blood of Christ. According to Romans chapter 6, verse 18, Romans chapter 6, verse 22, and Romans chapter 8, verse 2, we have been made free to become servants of righteousness and to become servants of God and to be free from the law of sin and death. Next up, we have propitiation. Propitiation is the act of the Lord Jesus Christ whereby He appeased the wrath of God toward the sinner. This propitiation came through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, His blood became our protective covering from the wrath of God. When God looks at the saved person, He does not see the sinner, but instead sees the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God for it, folks. I say hallelujah to that. Remission is an act of God's forgiveness whereby we are pardoned from the punishment that we justly deserve because of our crimes, in other words, our sins against God. Remission is an act of mercy. We deserve hell, but instead we get mercy and grace. In Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 11, we see the doctrine of justification once again connected to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this passage, reconciliation and the atonement are also tied to the blood of Jesus. From Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 11, we read the following. Verse 8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." And I emphasize the atonement, one and only atonement. Every Old Testament offering that was done according to the dictates of the Word of God was an atonement. Atonement is an old Middle English word that literally meant at-one-ment. It is this at-one-ment, or what we call the atonement, that makes God and man at one once again. The atonement reconciles man to God. All of the atonements in the Old Testament were nothing but temporary atonements. These atonements held back the righteous judgment of God and were but a temporary covering. Now, Pastor Robert Sargent, in his book, Landmarks of Baptist Doctrines, book one, page 218, states that there are 175 references to the atonement in the New Testament. That's one in every 44 verses that mentions it. However, the word atonement is only used once in the New Testament. It is here in Romans chapter 5, verse 11, where it is referred to as the atonement. That is, it is the only atonement that God will accept for sin. The atonement is freely offered through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In talking about our Lord Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible states this, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. It has been said that mercy is not getting what we deserve, and that grace is getting what we do not deserve. Put another way, we do not deserve the mercy of God, but it is by his grace that we are saved. Once we are saved, we are forgiven of our sins. The spirit of eternal salvation is the spirit of forgiveness and the spirit of love. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 18, we see that through the blood of Christ, that Christ Jesus became our peace and brought about peace and reconciliation between both the Jews and the Gentiles. Let's go and read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 18, where we see the following. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. In Ephesians 2, verses 13 through 18, we see the portrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ as our peace offering. The peace offering was the sweet savor offering that is prominently described in Leviticus chapters 3 and 7. Not only did the blood of Christ make a reconciliation possible between the Jew and the Gentile, but also between God and all of mankind. According to the scriptures here, we are at enmity with God. We have offended God and have need to be reconciled unto him. That reconciliation is made possible by the blood of Christ. Reconciliation is the means whereby man can be restored to friendship with God. Our sin put us at enmity with God. A state of war exists between God and man. Man is the aggressor. Reconciliation results in the destruction of the enmity between God and man. The blood of Christ is that means of reconciliation. There is reconciliation in the atonement. According to Webster's 1828 dictionary, reconciliation means, in Scripture, the means by which sinners are reconciled and brought into a state of favor with God after natural estrangement or enmity, the atonement. Now, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, 12 through 21, we see that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ brought about redemption, peace, and reconciliation. Now, we're going to go and read that particular passage of Scripture in Colossians 1, verses 12 through 21. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. That's Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 21. It is through his blood that we have both redemption and forgiveness of sins. As stated earlier, the Lord Jesus Christ became our peace offering. It is through his blood that we have peace with God, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, that being Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Through reconciliation, we can have fellowship with God through God the Holy Ghost. God desires to have fellowship with men. That is why he sent his Son to the cross to die for our sins. A prominent theme in relation to the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ is reconciliation. We see the words reconcile, reconciled, reconciling, and reconciliation used 10 different times in the New Testament in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for verification, you can go and read Romans chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 through 21, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, and Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. We're going to be closing our presentation here for today, and we will complete this presentation on the blood of Jesus in part 2 of this presentation. Thank you for joining us today.